The scripture reading comes today from Psalm 63. Psalm 63, we'll read the first 8 verses of this psalm. God, my God, it's you I search for. My whole being thirsts for you. My body desires you in a dry and tired land, no water anywhere. Yes, I've seen you in the sanctuary. I've seen your power and glory. My lips praise you because of your faithful love. It's better than life itself. So I bless you as long as I'm alive. I will lift up my hands in your name. I'm fully satisfied, as with a rich dinner. My mouth speaks praise with joy on my lips. Whenever I ponder you on my bed, whenever I meditate on you in the middle of the night, because you've been a help to me, and I shout out for joy in the protection of your wings. My whole being clings to you. Your strong hand upholds me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What do you want? How badly do you want it? What is the attraction that compels you to want it? There is no end to the things we want or long for within a consumer-driven society in which we live. Marketers are skilled at enticing customers and consumers to want whatever it is they're selling. We are reassured that they have our best interest in mind, and we are assured of how the product, whatever it is, will satisfy that nagging feeling of emptiness inside all of us. From cookies to fashion to thneeds, they know what everyone needs. With just the right touch, our needs quickly become a longing. Even if we're not so shallow as to be enticed by material things, there is something within the human spirit, a longing for something. Something for which we hunger and thirst. We crave it with an anticipation that grows with each passing hour of each passing day. The reunion of a loved one from whom we've been separated. Opening day of a new season. Turning over a new leaf or finding a new outlook on life. We all long for something that seems always to be just beyond our reach. To call our longing hope seems to take the teeth out of it. To capture the inner struggle of our longing, we may need to think of another word. Maybe desire. So what is it you desire? How badly do you desire it? What is the attraction that compels you and makes you desire it? To what ends will you go to attain it? Is yours a holy desire, a sacred passion? Psalm 63 is a psalm of desire. The psalmist is pouring out his heart's desire in vividly poetic words. Although the words are kept to a minimum, they speak volumes. They are words with which our longing hearts can probably identify. Clearly, God is the focus of the psalmist's desire. This is no passive waiting. Rather, his is a longing desire that has him out hunting God down. In a few short words, we sense the depth of his longing. He begins by likening his desire for God to a thirst for water. Thirst is a primal desire of humankind. Water is essential to human survival. As W.H. Auden said, thousands have lived without love, not one without water. Depicting the depth of his desire, the psalmist declares his whole being thirsts for God. Then he goes a step further, describing the context of his thirst. His is a thirst that has been worked up traveling across dry and weary deserts, places where there is no water anywhere to be found. Remember, no one can live without water. To the psalmist, his desire for God was a matter of life and death. From the words of a different song, same dance. We can even hear the sound of this kind of thirst. In Psalm 42, the analogy of a deer panting for streams of water is used to describe how the psalmist thirsts for God with his whole being. A panting that might echo from the thirst of our whole being for one thing or another. We have all crossed our own deserts at one time or another. Places where we were on the brink of survival, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. Our desert may have been a place where God may seem absent or non-existent. It could be a place where the experience of abandonment is palpable. Psalm 63 is attributed to King David and is thought to have been composed as he took to the Judean desert when his own son, Absalom, rose up to usurp his throne. This is not some kind of hypothetical, abstract feeling. It is a moment in real time when David was left questioning who he was and who he might become. He was questioning his purpose and the meaning of his life. Had all of his effort, had his anointing, had the kingdom with which he had been entrusted come to this? David knew the pain of a father's broken heart as his own son took up a literal sword against him. And what is it David wants? What is it that he desires? Personal safety, deliverance from the hand of Absalom, stability for his kingdom? Probably. But what does he desire? For what does his whole being thirst in the Judean desert? It thirsts for God. Safety, deliverance, peace are all worthy and certainly understandable desires. But they are lesser desires relative to David's desire for God. I ask again, what is it we desire? How badly do we desire it? What is the attraction that compels us to desire such things? To what ends do we go to attain what we desire? Is ours a holy desire, a sacred passion? Do we desire God? Do we thirst for God with our whole being? What comes out of the psalmist's desire for God? After declaring the depth of his desire for God in the opening verse of the psalm, David seems to post a fully satisfied customer review on Google. I've seen you in the sanctuary. I've heard your power and glory. Your faithful love is better than life itself. I am fully satisfied. As with a rich dinner, I shout out for joy in the protection of your wings. There's those wings again. My whole being clings to you. Your strong hand upholds me. Prevailing opinion suggests that memory activates desire, meaning it is our memory of something or someone that has been lost that makes us long for it. I get that. When we haven't seen a friend for a long time, we remember times spent with them. We inevitably begin to long for them and desire to see them again. I'm left wondering, though, if it might be the other way around for the psalmist. He has a longing for God which seems to activate his memory of God's power and glory. Either way, whether memory activates longing or longing activates memory, the dry and weary desert suddenly becomes a place of worship, with the psalmist being fully satisfied, his lips brimming with praise like a fountain. His whole being clinging to God. In these 8 short verses, standing in the very same dry and weary desert, the psalmist goes from thirsting for God with his whole being to clinging to God with his whole being. It seems to me that his desire for God transforms the psalmist's encounter and relationship with God. Desire turns his thirst into an intimate, clinging connection. Peter Marty has suggested that a desire for God is the beginning of faith. The essence of a relationship with God is desiring God. And Susan Guthrie adds, "Fortunate are men and women of prayer who realize that peace comes by embracing the longing itself." What if the desire for God is as real, as sweet, as a relationship itself? What if it is the only way we will know God? Belden Lane writes in The Great Conversation, "Teresa of Avila grew up in a dry land of saints and boulders northwest of Madrid. The arid terrain was defined by memory of rain, etched into the land at every turn. Canyons, ravines, barren flatbeds, dry stream beds. A remembrance of flow lingers in the shadow of every rock. That is how a parched land knows water, achingly, desperately, with a passion bordering dread." Lane says, "And it's also the only way we will ever know God." Do we desire God with our whole being? How do we acquire such thirst? For the psalmist, it was acquired by time spent crossing that dry, weary desert. Is that enough to give us a desire for God? Thomas Merton keeps it pretty simple and short. He says, "We can't find God unless we know we need God." The key is not to turn to lesser desires to quench our thirst when we find ourselves in the desert, to hold out for the water, the only water that will truly satisfy our thirst. Rumi says, "The thirst of our souls is the attraction put out by the water itself. Whether it's memory that activates longing or longing that activates memory, ours is a God-given thirst. Our souls are made to thirst for the sustaining and refreshing waters flowing from God. It's an open invitation proclaimed by the prophet Isaiah to every thirsty soul. All who are thirsty, come to the water. Whoever has no money, come buy food and eat without money at no cost. Buy wine and milk. Why spend money for what isn't food and your earnings for what doesn't satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Enjoy the richest of feasts. Listen and come to me. Listen and you will live." This is actually more than an invitation for every thirsty soul to come to the water. It's a plea from the source of the water, even God, who longs to satisfy our thirst before we even know what it is we want. The Lenten call today is to thirst with all our being for the river of God's presence to flow wildly, unmanaged and uncontrolled through our lives, and to encounter the presence of God in the shadow of every rock we stumble over in our dry and weary deserts. Amen.